In Hawaii, centuries of cultural and ethnic blending has diluted the blood quantum in many families with Hawaiian ancestry. That's causing a problem for Hawaiian homeland tenants who would like to pass on their property to a successor, but who could be hampered by the current requirement of at least 25% Hawaiian blood. A bill moved out of committee in the state legislature this week proposes to change blood quantum to 1/32nd. And while that could be helpful, there are other issues with the bill, according to Robin Punani Danner. She's the chairperson of the Sovereign Councils of the Hawaiian Homelands Assembly. She's on the line with us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Beth Ann.
We talk a lot about, you know, the blending of cultures, the blending of ethnicities, and we look at that in many cases as being a very, very good thing. But doesn't that always also point us back to the idea of, or at least the question, who's Hawaiian?
For some, it does. I think for Native Hawaiians, we know who we are. I think the issue is timely, and actually, as we're coming up on the 100-year anniversary of the enactment of the Hawaiian Homes Commission Act, this amendment really honors Prince Kuhio, who wanted 1/32nd in the original version of the bill back in 1921.
Why wasn't that taken into account then?
What a great question, and little known to most in Hawaii. Prince Kuhio advocated, when he was the congressional representative for the territory of Hawaii, for the blood quantum to be 1/32nd, and the merchants, the missionary descendants that had plantations, they advocated for 100% pure blood. And so the Congress split the baby, so to speak, and that's how we arrived at the 50% blood quantum back in 1921.
But the idea of, at that point in time, looking at 1/32nd as being the blood quantum seemed to be rather prescient. I mean, looking at what we're now looking at 100 years later.
Yes, I mean, Prince Kuhio knew what he had a far vision. He didn't make decisions for the moment, but for generations. He thought in terms of generations, and so I'm really excited that we have this opportunity to fulfill one of his dreams, even though it's 100 years later.
That said, there are other parts of the bill, though, that you find inconsistent. Specifically, which parts do you think need to be changed to make it more so?
Yes, there are two major sections of the Hawaiian Homes Commission Act. Section 209, which governs the process of successorship at the death of the lessee, okay? And then there's Section 208 that governs successorship while the lessee is alive. So right now, or at least as proposed by the governor, he's willing to advance a bill that says that we can do a successorship to a 1/32nd when we die at death, which for me in this modern world is one of the worst times to be doing asset planning and et cetera. So we are advocating that the governor and the legislature now add in Section 208 to be consistent with the 1/32nd so that residents in our state, Hawaiians, can plan while they're alive, which is the best time to be doing estate planning, not just for everybody else, but for us too.
We hear so many messages in general about wanting to have control over your assets and being able to make choices. And yet it seems almost strange to think that it's inconsistent with something like Hawaiian homelands.
What do you mean, Beth Ann?
Well, just from the standpoint that, you know, you can turn on your television and see so many commercials about estate planning, making choices, being sure that you're the one that is making those choices and not leaving it to somebody else just as a default mechanism or leaving it to the state. And yet it seems to be so inconsistent with something that was specifically arranged to go to those who had Hawaiian ancestry, that to be able to make choices in that way too.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's very much needed. It's unnecessary to throw families into uncertainty, financial uncertainty, especially during the worst time to be making those decisions during a grieving cycle. So today, with the one quarter you had mentioned in your opening, both sections are consistent. So we can do a successorship to a child or grandchild of 25% ancestry in death or in life. And so what we're asking for is for the legislature to follow through on that consistency that they did back in 1999 with this blood quantum lowering, to make sure that it's consistent so that Hawaiian families can plan appropriately just like their neighbors.
Is there anything that you see that needs to be changed? So there could be a lateral gift, for example, if you had a grandchild who didn't want it for some reason. Could you then, if you're gone, is there any way that that grandchild can gift to another grandchild because they're both grandchildren?
Yes, they can't. Right now, under the reading of the Hawaiian Homes Commission Act, you can only go straight down. So a child, grandchild, great-grandchild, et cetera. So you can't go lateral at the present time. We do believe at the Shaw, the Homestead Association statewide that we work with, that we do believe that the successorship should be culturally appropriate, and that's genealogy, you know, by family members. That's more of a Western kind of promotion of child to grandchild, whereas our testimony has been, we'll take the grandchild, the child and the grandchild, and at least try to expand to sibling, but our preference is to honor what really is here in Hawaii, which is any individual that has a genealogy tie to the original lessee.
And that genealogy could be also, for example, a Hanai child. Does it have to actually be someone whose, you know, family can be directly traced back to that original original lessee?
It would certainly help in that case, because most Hanai, not all, but most Hanai have some familial connection, right? The practice of Hanai is almost always a niece or a nephew or someone in the family conducting the Hanai transactions. So it would certainly address that, although Hanai specifically is not addressed in the law.
Should it be? I mean, just for clarification's sake, I mean, looking back now over 100 years where the idea was originally to have 132nd blood quantum, it seems that this might also be an area or a time at which you could incorporate many of the issues that may face us not only now, but may face us in future.
It would be fabulous. However, I'm not optimistic about that, especially if we're looking at a piece of legislation that currently right now has such limitations on estate planning and life planning just in this amendment. But it's a major step forward. I will say that. I mean, the Homestead Associations have been working on this for 5 years. They did listening sessions in 2012 and 2013 to debate the issue of blood quantum internally within our community. And the way that they came out of that was to maintain the 50% blood quantum to obtain an original land award from DHHL. But anything after that, which is successorship, should be by genealogy and to the 132nd.
You've said that there's no question that we need to have reform or see reform within the whole area of how Hawaiian homelands are structured and given and then, you know, gifted successively. But how do you see that reform building? I mean, this is clearly one part of that. But if you had your druthers, what do you think needs to happen overall to be able to ensure that this is a productive program that has longevity in a culturally appropriate way?
Well, first and foremost, I think that Hawaiian Homes Commission Act beneficiaries need to be included more in the management and decision making at the state level. And for example, Beth Ann, there's a second bill that's moving through the legislature that restructures the commission, and we have testified on that bill, and would like to see amendments to do major reform on the governance structure of the Department of Hawaiian Homelands, and that is for the commission to, number one, have a majority of 5 out of 9 commissioners be beneficiaries themselves on the wait list or on the land. Number two, to to prohibit the governor's cabinet pick of DHHL director from being on that commission. Right now, that cabinet pick is the chair of the commission, and that is a huge conflict because you have two masters. You have a DHHL director that is whose master is the governor and the politics of that administration, who also controls the commission and sets the agenda. Mm-hmm. And so the commission, by Hawaii administrative rules, requires that they act in the exclusive interest of beneficiaries and not the state. So you have a conflict right there. The state has said, the governor's administration has said that they don't see that as a conflict, that all other state commissions have their directors be the commission. But shallow view, because they're forgetting that the Hawaiian Homes Commission Act is not a state public trust. It was established by the federal government, and it is not the public that are the beneficiaries of that
it's very specific, of our particular trust. And very narrow.
It's named. Yes,
Robin.
And so I'd love to talk to you. Would be a major step toward reform.
Robin, I'd love to talk to you more about this. It sounds like maybe this should be a town square. There's so much more to this and such a rich conversation. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
You bet. Have a great day.
You too. Robin Punani Danner is the chairman of the Sovereign Councils of the Hawaiian Homelands Assembly.